You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
While you were skipping stones, building forts, and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hello, I'm Mark Timonelli, and welcome to this episode of the Little Me Podcast. Remember to head over to Instagram and follow us at Little Me Podcast. You can also follow me at Mark Timonelli. And as always, please remember to subscribe and rate and review on Apple Podcasts. I'm so lucky to have Broadway's Clay Thompson with me today. I've been working with Clay for years at Broadway Workshop, and I'm always so impressed with how he has connected with our students. At the age of 12, Clay packed his bags and went on the national tour of Oliver. A few years later, he played the role of Arab in the Broadway National Tour of West Side Story and went on to make his Broadway debut playing Spot Conlon in Disney's Newsies and was part of the original Broadway cast of Matilda and King Kong. He also appeared in the Broadway National Tour of Wicked and most recently in the National Tour of Jesus Christ Superstar. Welcome, Clay Thompson. Hi.
Hey, you make me sound so fancy.
I know you are fancy, and I only gave like some credits. There's lots of things. Goodness. First of all, congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
You were married this past, was it December? What was the month?
November.
November
11th, 11-11.
Ooh, married. That's a good omen. Everything's gone to pot since then. But to you married to your longtime partner, Chris Rice, who's also a big Broadway star. Was that day everything you dreamed of?
It was amazing. We went to Palm Springs and just had the best little weekend vacation with all of our friends and family. It was so nice.
So cool. And I'm obsessed with Palm Springs. We can talk about it more later. The retirement project has begun. It's
yes.
Called the Palm Springs Project. DM me for more information. Okay. So you were on a tour with Jesus Christ Superstar right before COVID hit, right?
I was
really interested in people's stories about how the industry ended for them.
Yeah.
It sounds very dramatic, but where were you on tour? What happened? Did you know it was coming? Did they tell you?
We kind of, being on tour, New York shut down before we did. And so we kind of saw it coming, but we're also like, oh, maybe it's just like a thing that's happening in New York and it's not going to spread like it has. But yeah, we would be, I remember being at the gym and looking at the TV and just like seeing just the world start to collapse. And we were like, it's not looking good.
Do they have a company meeting that night and we're like, pack your bags?
Yep, the next day, like we had finished our show and they said nothing about anything to do with closing. And then the next morning we were like, hey, please be at the theater by 2 p.m. and pack your trunks.
Wow.
But at the time it was just like, we're just going to close for 4 weeks. So being on tour, everybody left their stuff in the trunks and et cetera. But I was vacation swinging technically. So I was supposed to be done like the next week. So I was like, well, I'm going to take my stuff just in case.
Yeah.
Thankfully, everybody's still like Chris's stuff is still like in Canada with the Hamilton set. And
did you go to, you went to Canada to be with him after that?
I did. Yeah. We shut down and he hadn't shut down yet. And there were like basically no cases in Canada. And so I was like, they really kind of were in the same boat of like, I guess we're not shutting down either. And so I went there and we ended up staying there for 2 extra months after the shutdown.
Well, it's like Canada's a good place to be.
To turn the news on in the morning and listen to someone speak like they had an education.
Like an adult. Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
That was really nice.
that's a nice way to put it. All right, let's go back way before Jesus Christ Superstar. Talk to me about little Clay. What was he doing at 8 and 9 years old? How did this all start for you?
So I started as a gymnast, and that's kind of how I got to know how to move my body with coordination through that. And then I did a couple shows in our like local community theaters, all like illegal, doing like full book musicals. You're like,
no one had a right
doing
to.
Wicked, right? No. So I did a couple shows here and there, and then I had a voice teacher, and she suggested that I go to New York and audition for Oliver. And I had never been to New York before, but she was like, it's going to be a long shot. There's going to be a lot of people, but just try it. And so I did it and got through.
Are you 12 then? How old
I was 11.
Okay.
And so then I got through the singing cuts, and then it came to dancing, and I had never done like a proper dance class, or like all of my dance experience was like a slow jazz square and like a shimmy shimmy down. So I got a cut at the dance call, and they were like, if you want to be in musical theater, you need to be a triple threat. So go home and study in the thing that you didn't feel like you were as proficient in. And so I took tap, jazz, and ballet for a couple months, and then they ended up 6 months later having like re-auditions for people who wanted to leave. And I auditioned, got to the end of the day, and I remember driving home with my dad. My dad drove me to New York, and we were in the parking lot of Wendy's, and I got the call, and they were like, do you want to go on tour? Like, you leave next week, and you're going to be a swing. And I was like, well, what's a swing? And so I understudied 17 kids.
So were your parents, where they were like, just fine with it? Yeah, you can go on tour. You can, we can, we'll go, we'll make it work for you. They just were opening those doors.
My dad is a phys ed teacher, and he was like, he could take a year off. He asked to take a year off from school and teaching and coaching different sports. And they said yes. And he now is like, that was the best year of my life. So,
oh my God, so cool.
I'm so thankful to them for doing that for me.
How does a 12-year-old swing a show? I mean, did you have like binders? Did you ask your dad, like, does this boy go to 8 or 12? Like, what is the process of figuring out how to be a swing as a kid?
Totally. I mean, looking back, I had like the thinnest little book of like just the most basic, like go to this number and at the end of the number, just make sure you're on this one. Literally. It was like, how did that help? But I don't know if it did. I don't quite remember. I remember definitely like tragedy stories of we had like two long tables and we like all sat at the end of, oh gosh, not Food Glorious Food. What's the next one?
Well, consider yourself as the next big number.
No, but like we're still like in the orphanage and we all like pass our bowls down to the end of the table and there was like one extra bowl and Oliver got pushed to the floor and that like kind of got him to stand up and say, well, can I have some more? And I went to the wrong table and it was just like a disaster and somebody just like ended up shoving him off the bench. It was
so you were basically winging it.
100%. I had absolutely no idea.
Probably the best training anyone could ever have.
Sure. Just get thrown into the deep end.
What do you remember about that tour? Talk to me about, you know, your experience doing that at such a young age.
I mean, definitely just being exposed to the world as a kid and we would do school during the day, do the show at night. And then you're so wound up, especially as a kid, you're like, we would go and hang out in somebody's hotel room until like 2 in the morning and you're like, is this
normal?
No. But it was so fun. And I mean,
and that was like a really big job. I this podcast is not about me, but I had 17 callbacks for that tour. And so I always look at you with that, got on that Oliver tour and I never got to do it.
But, stop it. Oh my gosh. We could have toured together.
I mean, it would have been so fun. I would have been an actual adult by then, Clay. But, so I wouldn't have hung out with you ever. Do you remember the first time you were ever on?
Yes, because it was scheduled. So there was a kid that was in the ensemble that understudied Oliver. And so then I was like his first cover, the understudy's first cover. So I knew that I was going to go on for the role of Captain when Captain went on for Oliver. So the first time I went on was thankfully scheduled. But there were times where I was like, they were like, can you do this one too? And I was like, I haven't done that one yet. And they were like, we'll help you. Well, like other kids will help you. They'll show you where to go. No, they didn't.
No,
they're like focused on their own show. Yeah.
Did your parents switch off on tour or was your dad with you the whole time?
No, it was my dad the whole time. And like halfway through, he actually added on as being like a child wrangler or a child guardian, now they're called. But he was like an assistant child wrangler and he had the best time because he had like a Britney mic and got to like hang out backstage with the crew and like listen in on what they were talking about. And of course they were like always talking about us and the tomfoolery that was happening on stage of this non-act tour. But
are you and your dad so close from that experience?
Yeah.
I feel like parents who go on tour with their kids, it's like they have this weird experience that you'll never have again.
Absolutely.
It's just them against the world of all these crazy kids that they're on tour with. And so they just sort of glue together. You can't break that bond.
No. It was really great.
How long did you do that tour for?
A year. So I joined in after the first 6 months, but then I finished out the tour, and it was about a year after that.
And then did you just have to go, you probably started high school when that was over?
Yep. I went back to eighth grade, to finish out my eighth grade year. And we had school on the road that was tutoring, but it was the most.
Oh, anything.
No, I was so behind when I got back.
I learned so much on tour about school.
Never.
But you become a student of the world. You get to go to museums. You're it's actually it's a year.
It's so cool. There's definitely worldly experiences, but my history teacher was like, "Did you open this book?"
You're like, "I know a lot about Oliver.
I can do all of my tracks for you right now.
I can tell you about who Mr. Bumble was." Okay. So you go back to school. Do you do the school musicals, or now are you bitten by the musical theater bug yet?
I started dancing. That was my main thing, because I still hadn't really danced much. We had some dance classes here and there with people in the show that would do little masterclass kind of things. But I really started dancing when I was in high school. And I auditioned for during my freshman year, I auditioned for the school musical. They were doing High School Musical. And I was cast as the kid that comes into the audition. It's like, "It's hard to believe that I couldn't see." And it was either I do this in a High School Musical or I dance. And I chose to dance. And I think I kind of burned the bridge with my high school director by dropping out of the show. It was very unprofessional of me to do that. But I was I am also grateful that I danced, because I danced for 24
hours
a week.
Seems to have worked out for you. I don't know about playing that part in High School Musical would have led to, probably dancer.
Who's
you never know.
Never know.
Destiny is destiny. Okay. So you do your 4 years of high school, and then you decide to go to Penn State for musical theater?
I did. Yep. I went for 1 year.
And then at the end of that year.
I came to New York.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I came to New York and I just took classes and auditioned. And I actually got the Chinese production of Fame. And it was only for 4 weeks. And I asked school if I could leave in the middle of the semester for 4 weeks and then come right back and pick back up. And they were like, "No." So I was like, okay. So I turned it down. And then the next week auditioned for West Side and booked it. And then asked Penn State if I could take a year off and come back. I would not skip a year, but I would come back as a sophomore. And they said, "If you come back, you have to come back as a freshman, because there's so much you learn in that's it's all about consecutive learning." And I was just like, I booked a principal on a First National tour. And okay. So I was like, "I'm going to go do this tour."
Were you looking to get out? I mean, obviously you're auditioning. My sense is that you're all right, let's get rocking and rolling.
Yes. I mean, for anybody that is looking at to go to Penn State, it has the program has completely changed since I went. I chose the school because it was very acting and singing heavy, thinking that I could further myself in those disciplines while still pushing myself in dance, but I didn't get to dance really. I only could take ballet. You couldn't take jazz or tap, and now you can take that as a freshman. But I definitely was looking for something new.
It's also, college is not for everyone, especially for musical theater. And if you've had an experience, you have been on tour for a year as a kid, you have a sense of how the business works, you have a sense of what is expected. And so it's hard to then go to school for 4 years and work on those skills that you have been building on your own. So you leave and you go on tour West Side Story, which was probably a very exciting experience. Also where you met your husband. Talk to me about West Side Story and that huge job.
So Chris, my husband and I met at the audition. They had me reading, because since I was 18, they had me reading for Baby John the whole audition process. And they had him reading for Tony, because they were looking for a Tony cover. And then at the very end of the day, they had me read for A-Rab and Chris read for Baby John. And that's what we got. So we toured the country for a year. He played Baby John and understudied Tony, and I played A-Rab. And it was so awesome. I love touring. Touring is not for everybody, but you get to see the country and get paid to see the country of like, I mean, and some cities are better than others, but there are so many cities that you would never expect to go to and enjoy. Like nobody vacations in, I don't know, like the middle of nowhere, but they're like, so those are some of the, like the best parts of tour, just like getting to go to the different restaurants and talk to the locals of like what, where to go, where they suggest.
Where's the local quilt museum? Things like that.
A quilt museum? No.
Those are, you know, the magical things you find at tour. Okay. West Side Story is such an iconic musical. Did you grow up like knowing it well? Did you know this was a show for me, or you just were like, I'm a dancer, I do dance shows?
I mean, I definitely didn't grow up. I had seen the movie, but I think since I wasn't as strong of a dancer, I didn't really think it was a show for me. Until later in high school / college. And I do remember seeing it on Broadway and thinking, this is so cool that there are so many guys dancing. I thought that was like, I mean, how many shows are there now? There's Newsies, but like West Side was such a like masculine dancing. I thought that was so, I mean, probably thought it was attractive to watch as well, but I was like, this is so cool. And this is what I want to do.
Awesome. And your parents were fine with you leaving school? They didn't give you any trouble about it?
Yeah. I mean, they were like, I think they were cool with me leaving college, but I think that they wanted me to either go get a degree if I wasn't going to work. So I was like, okay, when tour closed, I was like, I'll take a year and either, if I don't book anything in New York, I will look into going back to school either for musical theater or for something completely different. And thankfully, like my second month of being in New York, I got Newsies. So I thank you, mom and dad.
Thank you, universe. All right, yeah. Let's move on to the Newsies show because that is sort of a big deal. Were you just auditioning for everything as soon as you came home from tour and that came up? Or did you have your eyes on it?
I didn't have my eyes on it. Actually, it was, I had been in for it before and it came to Tommy Bracco got hurt on a Friday night during the show. And so Saturday, Tommy, I mean, thank you, Tommy. But yes, I actually was home. So I was at my childhood home in Rochester, New York, and got a call from my agent. And they were like, hey, there's an audition tomorrow. They need somebody to start on Monday. So can you be in New York? And I was like, I will figure it out. And so I like ran down the stairs. My mom tells the story about how I was upstairs when I got the call and how I came down the stairs and didn't touch a single step because I was so excited.
So it's like a straight up offer. You weren't like, you have to come in and audition?
No. I had to audition. Oh. So that was on Saturday. I had to audition on Sunday, but there were only three of us auditioning for it. So it was all people who had been in the room and they knew the team liked before. So mm-hmm. We still had to do like three different dance combinations. We had to sing three different songs from the show. We had to do two different sides from the show. But it was like a full audition day. And then they were like, at the end of the day, if you book this, you will hear by tonight because you have to be in rehearsal tomorrow morning. So the night came and I didn't hear anything. And I was like, oh. Dang. But then the next morning, I got a call from my agent and they were like, so like casting wants you to know that it doesn't always have to do with your talent and blah, blah, blah. Like sometimes it's just fitting the costume. But they also wanted me to let you know that you're going to make your Broadway debut in Newsies. And I was like, ugly tears.
Where were you when they called you?
At my apartment. And since my mom drove me to New York, my mom and Chris were there. And I was just like, so I have it all on tape.
Of course you have that film.
it's cute, but I'm definitely just ugly crying.
It's really special. Okay. So you get to join this like kind of really big hot show, pretty close to opening. It wasn't like it had been, wasn't on its last legs. It was like hot. And yes. So you joined the cast of Newsies. Talk to me about that opening, that first performance.
I mean,
was everyone there, your whole family? Like,
Yes. And Hurricane Sandy hit like the week of, so I didn't get a put in, which was crazy. I had never done the show. I had a spacing rehearsal, but I didn't get a put in. So I didn't get to do the show with other people in like real time. And I never got to do the show in costume before my opening night. So that was wild. And my pants split down the middle during the middle of Seize the Day, which you're welcome, New York City. But sorry, mom.
I'm sure it was a very cool night. Is that where the Instagram fame begins? Is it a newsie? Is it because of newsies? I mean, obviously you have a very huge following. Did you feel it like start to like really kick up with those boys?
Definitely starting with newsies. Yeah. All the like 14-year-old girls were like, blah, blah,
blah. It's wild. I've not really seen an audience reaction to a show like that ever. Especially to a chorus. I mean, it was, you walked to that show and you were talking about the boys. You weren't talking about the stars. I mean, I wasn't, you know, like they were brilliant, but like to watch you guys all dance as a group was such a spectacular experience that I don't think people can forget, whether you liked it or not. Like you couldn't deny the amount of talent that was.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, even I had seen the show because we had friends in it. And so I knew that it was like a really something special with, like you said, like the ensemble of just like powerful, incredibly talented dancing and singing in the rafters. So I felt so lucky to get to be a part of it. It was really cool.
How long did you do Newsies for?
I actually only did it for 2 months the first time I did it. And then because it was just filling in for Tommy's injury leave. And then before I had even opened, I had opened Newsies, but before Chris had seen me in it, because he was on the road with White Christmas, I booked the original company of Matilda. So I only did it for 2 months.
Moving right along.
I knew that I was going to Matilda. So
it's so funny that you were only in Newsies for such a short time because so many people associate you with that show.
Right.
Well, good work then.
But I did get to do, I did Matilda for like about a year and then ended up leaving for a different show and then came back to Newsies. So I did it for another 2 months, but 4 months in total.
So was Matilda something you had been auditioning for a while?
No, I went in for the original initial calls for the Broadway company, and it was probably over 3 weeks, all of the auditions. But I ultimately went in and like my second to last callback, they had me read the Rudolfo sides, which is like Mrs. Wormwood's dance partner. And then they had me read that same side as Michael Wormwood. So just wanting to kind of like throw a curveball in the audition room. And I did that and they laughed. So I was like, oh, okay, that went well. And then at my final callback, they had me do a similar thing, but still different with reading different sides as different people. And then I ended up booking that as a swing. So I, in hindsight, was like, oh, you weren't seeing if I could do like just throw curveballs. You were trying to see like, if you go on at the last minute, are you going to make a bold choice with whatever scene you're going for? So I was in it from the beginning.
Original Broadway cast experience.
It was.
So you got to go through that whole rehearsal process and be part of opening night and do.
Yeah.
You did the Tonys as well?
I did. Yeah.
And the parade and all that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Tell me about all of those experiences.
Firsts. Yeah. I was very lucky to, when I did Newsies, we did Dancing with the Stars and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade when I was in it for just those two months. So I had gotten to do those things. So it was like, those were so cool. And then to do Matilda and to like record an original Broadway cast album and perform at the Tonys and do the Macy's Parade live. Those were just so special. Those are like bucket list things. Like writing in the car to rehearsal as a kid, I would always only listen to musical soundtracks. So to now be on one and think that like someone has sung along to a recording that I'm in was so, so, so cool.
Matilda was a pretty spectacular show and I thought would win like every Tony Award. And then dun dun dun,
us too.
The night comes and it doesn't really work out in the favor.
No.
Tell me about that night. Was it a shock? Were you guys also
impressed? Well, the night is, I know you know, but for your listeners, the day of the Tonys is crazy. You like have the rehearsal for the Tonys in the morning, you do a matinee back at your theater, then you go back and do the show. But we were like sitting in the van, we like go into the theater, we were one of the first performances to happen that night. So we did our performance, we bus back to the theater, and it was really cool. We did get to, when we got to the theater, they were about to announce Best Actor or Best Supporting Actor. I should know that. Whatever Gabe Ebert one. So the guy who played Mr. Wormwood. So we were all like in the staircase around the like tiny little TV by the stage door. So we got to watch that, which was really cool. But then we like get ready, go to the party, and we were like all so jazzed. And they like played our performance during one of the commercial breaks. And we were like, the energy was great. And then they were like, best musical goes to, no, first it was best choreo goes to Kinky Boots. And we were like, oh man. And then it was best musical and we were all like drinking.
Yeah, it was a surprise in the bit, especially coming in from London and being such a huge hit there. And and then I think that's probably what the problem was.
Absolutely.
That they didn't play the Tony game.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
But you did that show for a long time, and then you came back and you replaced Alex Brightman, yeah?
I did, yeah. So I was a swing for about a year. I left for a little bit, and then I played Michael for a little while.
How much better of a swing were you the second time around?
I mean, when I came back, I was just playing Michael.
No, so but
I just
when, had to like your second swing experience doing Matilda, did you have more notes than you had in Oliver?
Yeah, I mean, probably too many. I have like a binder, like, 3 inches thick. It was just like papers upon papers, like, and I still have it. It's I mean, way too many details, too many to where like I could still do, if I read everything, I could still do the entire show, even like the Gates number.
That show seemed like an impossible show to swing because it was so intricate and the staging was so wild and, you know,
it was, but thankfully it was, by the first day of rehearsal, the most of the show was pretty frozen set. There were like a couple little things that changed here and there. So, but as a swing, when you join from the beginning, learning the choreo, they're teaching the other actors in the show and you're learning it in the back of the room, where like King Kong was also, I did from the beginning swinging, and you're in the back when they're making rewrites and cutting songs and making new songs. So you're like constantly having to like just scrap everything you've learned and relearn new things. So thankfully Matilda was like pretty frozen from day one.
So there was a lot of children in that show, and
sure were.
Which sometimes are really fun and sometimes a challenge. What was your experience now having been a kid in the business and kind of back in it and performing as an adult with all these kids? What was your experience with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was closer in age to the oldest kid than I was to the next youngest adult. So I kind of felt like I was still one of the kids. And I was the like gym captain. So I was constantly with the kids, which was a lot of fun. And it was also nice that we didn't, the parents are not allowed backstage on Broadway, which was not a thing on the tour. So it was really nice to just like have that separation and like get to know the kids as themselves rather than the parents speaking for the kids.
They were protective of those kids in general. I'd not really seen that they weren't allowed to do stage door. There was like lots of rules in place so that the kids would just do the show and be out or
they wanted it to feel like just doing a musical, not like becoming stars, mm-hmm. which I understand, but it's still like, if I was on Broadway as a kid, I feel like I'd want to like soak in that experience rather than getting shoved out the back side door. Like,
I remember like going to meet a student after and they're like, meet me at this weird spot. I was like, this is so, it was like
the back alley,
like a Broadway drug deal. It was so strange. I was like, okay, good job. So how did the show change depending on which kids were on, who was playing Matilda, the other kids in the ensemble? How much did that change for you every night?
Yeah. I mean, it was really interesting being a swing, jumping into a different show. Not only are you different, jumping into a different show every night, but you're the lead actress is completely different every night. So that was crazy. Not only for being in the ensemble, but playing Michael, playing her brother, playing the scene with her. And I mean, it was so cool to be on stage with Leslie Margarita and Gabe. They were like just hilarious every night. But it was really interesting and fun to see the girls grow from the beginning of their performance, the beginning of their run to the end of their run, just grow as performers and as kids. It was really cool.
It's so weird probably to see all these kids are like kind of adults now.
Oh, absolutely. They're like, half of them are in college. I'm like, I don't want to see these pictures of you on Instagram.
Yes.
This is uncomfortable.
After I know you left and came back and you did other things in between. You were on tour with Wicked. Was that just 2 years ago?
No, that years? Was like 4 years ago.
Okay.
It was a while ago, but I only did that for like a short period of time.
Was that a dream to just sort of do Wicked as like the greatest
100%. It was definitely like one of my soundtracks that I listened to in the car, like I was talking about earlier.
I have to school you on this. It's cast album.
What am I saying?
You're saying soundtrack. And soundtrack is a soundtrack to a movie film.
Like, Mark, all right, ruin this for me.
You're going to say cast
album.
Okay,
it's a cast album. So I listened to the Wicked cast album.
Great,
in
yes,
the car.
You have to say cast recording. This is an education podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. We can cut all that out if you want.
No, or keep it in. I don't care.
So you used to listen to the Wicked cast recording.
I did.
Now
in the car. Now to like then do the show and listen to the ding-ding-ding-ding and have that be my entrance of running on stage and like standing in a spotlight would give me chills every night. It was so cool to like.
You were Chistery or whatever that monkey.
I was. Chistery.
He just runs out and starts the whole thing.
Yeah. And to start the show was pretty cool.
Who was your Elphaba?
My first Elphaba was Emily Cook.
Okay. And then did you do with Vosk for a minute?
I did. I did it with Jessica Vosk.
I think she's so good. All right. So after Wicked, you come back and you do some other things. And then it's King Kong, that gorilla comes calling. Then you do King Kong on Broadway. Talk to me about how that job came to you.
Yes. So I did Jesus Christ Superstar in Chicago, which was the same production that they did on the West End. And Drew McConey was the choreographer of Jesus Christ Superstar, and he directed and choreographed King Kong on Broadway. So I had worked with him before, and they had been in rehearsals for about a month, and they were looking for a new swing. And so that's when I came in and auditioned and got the show. So I actually started the show as a swing for all of the people that didn't touch King Kong. So all of the non-puppeteering tracks. I did that for a little bit. And then one of the guys who puppeteered King Kong left to do Hamilton. And I replaced him. So I got to puppeteer King Kong, which was pretty cool.
So they call that King's Company, right? Or what are they?
Yes.
Yeah. And did you, when you took over that track, did you also have to appear in the ensemble as a
non-puppeteer? Yep. So it was like the people who didn't touch King Kong or who were not in the King's Company were in the entire rest of the ensemble scenes. But the people who were in King's Company were still in those ensemble scenes, but then did quick changes back and forth to puppeteer King Kong. It was wild.
What was the reaction from the audience in general? Because I would hear such wild different, obviously I saw it, but you know, it would just be wild different reactions from people based like, it's the most stunning thing ever to, you know, not that.
Yeah,
experience.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, to be on stage or in the audience when King Kong, you first see King Kong or hear King Kong, that was really cool to be a part of and to see the different reactions each night, especially when we had like a Wednesday matinee and there were a lot of students in the audience. That was like, the energy was really awesome. But it was, I mean, it had its challenges, for sure.
It There was a section where you guys were on a boat or something, and it was truly the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is how you use projections. Like, if it was a masterclass in how that's supposed to work, and then there'd be a scene that was a masterclass in how things should work. But
absolutely. I will say, for teching that boat scene was very challenging, because sitting in the audience and watching the stage move and the projections move, you're like, okay, I just need to like not look at the screen for 30 seconds or I'm going to get seasick.
Amazing. What was
you got seasick, then you got to leave the theater, which
may be a positive. What was that process like? You know, obviously we know when there's like a show and it's a hit, you kind of know exactly what they're remounting when it moves to Broadway. With Matilda, I don't think that many changes were made from the West End to King Kong was really a new musical in, you know, it happened in Australia, right?
Right.
But this was like a new show. So how were the changes coming during that process, and how did they come in, and what kind of things came and went and things like that?
Yeah,
give us the inside scoop.
Yes. There were a lot of changes. It was, as a swing, it was so, it was one of the most challenging things to have a number, a full number that you've just learned different tracks for. And then they come in and they're like, all right, so this number's not working very well. So the opening of Act Two, like a couple weeks before we opened, we had a brand new number, brand new costumes, entirely different. So to track the show and to feel like you have it, and then you're like, okay, I have this number, and now I get to move on to the next one. I've made my charts, I've made all of my cheat sheets, and then for all of that to just be now like in a scrapbook. Like, oh, it was challenging, but also cool to watch the different versions of it and see things improve with the show. Sometimes
not. What are the challenges for doing that kind of puppetry, especially since that's not, you know, your world? You're not coming as a puppeteer. And although it's not really puppeteer like Sesame Street, what were your challenges in learning that totally new skill of how to, you know, manipulate this mahunky?
Yeah, I had never done anything like it and never thought I was going to. Even joining the show, I was like, that's cool. I hope I never have to do that. Because there was talk of me swinging both the ensemble and the King's Company in the beginning. And I was like, oh, please don't make me learn how to do that. Looks one, dangerous, two, challenging. I'm good. I don't want to. Then I had done the show for about 6 months and there was like talk of maybe replacing one of the guys. I was like, okay, I could maybe do one of them. But to learn it, they had me sit on stage during the show. Like there'd be a paying audience and I was in head to toe all black, sitting against the TV screen, watching the track do all of the puppeteering. And we had in ears the whole show that we heard different calls from the stage manager or the guy who told us what moves to do. And I would listen to those and they'd be like, Kong 300, go. Kong 180, go. And I was like, I don't know what any of these mean, but I'm going to hopefully learn them at some point. But then I had 2 days of rehearsal.
How long did you were in the show before they announced that they were kind of closing shop?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I joined in the fall and we closed the next summer. So all in all, probably like 8 or 9 months.
Did you see that coming? Or you were like, this is a huge show. We'll run at least through, you know,
we thought we were going to get through till January. But then once audiences in the fall and the spring, we were like, ah, this is looking, I can hear an echo. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a hard thing to do your job, but also look out and be like, oh God, this isn't doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But it was cool. There was a lot of, you listen.
Yeah. To hear.
And you get to be part of something so cool that
100%.
That maybe we won't see again. It's not like there's going to be, you know, Sayville High School is not doing King Kong next summer. You know, it's
maybe they are. I'm excited to see it at the Muni. Okay. Coming soon.
Well, it's a great idea. So, this past year, not only did you get married, but you did Jukebox Superstar. Did you have to figure out how to do those two things together?
Well, we got married in November and Chris booked Hamilton and left on January 1st. And then I got the call to do Jukebox Superstar to leave on January 8th. So, okay. I mean, it was literally the perfect timing, but we didn't think we were going to spend this whole year together. So then the world happens, and now we get to spend every second of every day together.
It's nice, mostly, right?
Yes. It really is. Especially thinking that we were going to spend this whole year, at least a year, being apart. It's been really nice. We'll still have to spend a year apart once he goes back on the road, but
you'll figure
for
it out.
Now, like being freshly married, it's really nice to nice spend to have time together.
How was Jesus Christ Superstar for the time you got to do it?
Wild, because I joined as like what I thought was going to be like a dance swing. And one day it was like 2 hours before the show, and the stage manager called me and was like, "Hey, could you be on for this track tonight? You'll just do the different chunks, whatever you can go on for will be great." I was like, "Yes, absolutely. I will learn it from the archival video." So I taught myself the show from an archival video. Then I get a call and was like, "Have you ever played the guitar?" I was like, "Never." He was like, "Could you?" I was like, "Sure, I'll learn how to play the guitar. Absolutely. I will like come in and learn how to do it." And he was like, could you do it tonight in the show?" And I was like, I've literally never touched a guitar, but he was like, "Okay, it's just two chords. And if you don't do it, it'll just be a cappella in the show because it's not backed in the orchestra. So just let us know." So I learned how to play the guitar in about an hour. Just two chords.
I mean, you're a little fearless. Like, you're just jumping out there in front of thousands of people constantly having really no idea what's going on.
Absolutely. That's how I thrive.
Very impressive.
Oh, thanks.
I'm impressed. Oh, my God. All right. We have to talk about a couple of things and then we have to wrap up. So please. You have this insane Instagram following. I know. It's exciting. I look today, you have 50,000 followers, almost 51,000, and Chris has 49,000. So is that a big dramatic moment in your own?
I mean, honestly, he was like watching it because we were both like just around each other for a while. And then I started to go up and he wasn't. And he was like, "You're at 50,000. You're at 50,000. I'm not at 50,000. He must be joking." I'm like, "You're going to be okay."
So when you have this big following on Instagram, do you feel like you have to create a lot of content? Is it fun for you? Does it feel like a job? Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's definitely more fun. I try to keep it more lighthearted and positive rather than it feeling like a job. I mean, I have thankfully gotten to do some cool things and done like little collaboration kind of things with companies and gotten free products from it, which is always a plus.
Yeah, we love free things.
Love free things.
Love a free thing. Anyone listening, yeah. I love a free thing. He loves a free thing.
Send us things.
Things. All right.
Yes. I have some laundry detergent downstairs that I'm going to do a post about. You'll see that soon. Exciting.
It's fun to follow you because you do have so much light. There's a lot of love. It's a lot of joy. It's also a really great thing. It's such a joyous thing to watch you and your husband have such a great time together. And I think that for, you know, young people in the world who are following you to 100%. See these two great guys like supporting each other and being there for each other, it's like a really lovely thing to send in the world. So you should feel really good about it.
Well, thank you. It's been really nice to get messages from people, whether they're in a small town in America or in a country where being gay is literally illegal. And so getting messages from people saying like, seeing your relationship brings so much positivity and hope to me is really, really, really cool.
It's really great. And you guys do such a great job at sharing your life and all of that and going to Disney World and all that fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys had a lot of Disney last year.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's all good. Okay. So we have to, I love talking about your career. You've been working in this business for such a long time. I mean, really, you haven't really stopped since you're a kid and, you know, having the joy, the passion, the excitement for it as an adult still is really a great thing to bring to the business and that you're not jaded and that you love what you do and you do it with everything you have is totally inspiring. So
thank you
for doing this and for sharing your story with me. Okay. So we have to do Obsessed and Broadway Workshop quick fire questions. So
okay.
Clay Thompson, what is your obsession right now? What is getting you through the time? Anything you got? TV show?
I mean,
Disney
Plus.
Okay.
Both my husband and I are obsessed with Disney. Like we haven't gotten to go to Disney. Well, no, we went to Disney in February, but with it being closed, and hopefully it still stays closed for a little bit longer because it reopening is crazy to me.
Bad idea. They
close with 100 cases and now there's like 10,000 in Florida, maybe rethink. But we're obsessed with Disney. So Disney Plus, watching Disney movies is getting us through. We bought a projector and we like hung up a bed sheet. And so we've been doing like outdoor Disney movies and it's giving us life.
Plus. all right. My obsession this week is something called Ash and Eerie. It is a clothing line for short guys. So ooh. I am 5'7" and it's really for like 5'8" and under. And so it's like sleeve lengths are the right length, or like it doesn't go, if it's a button down shirt, it like kind of stops right past your waist. It is. So Ash and Eerie, if you'd like to be a sponsor of this podcast, you.
Beers.
But they're so great. Like I got a whole box of clothes from them yesterday and they're like, they fit so well. So if you're a tiny guy, have I got something for you? All right. So are you ready for the Robbie Workshop quickfire questions? This is...
I'm nervous.
You should be a little scared. These are questions put together by me and some Robbie Workshop students. Go with the first thing that comes to your mind. Here we go.
Okay.
What show would you like to do with your husband?
Hamilton.
Favorite city on tour?
Denver.
How often do you get confused with Klay Thompson, the basketball player?
Pretty often on Twitter.
First Broadway show you ever saw?
Oh gosh, I don't remember if it was Beauty and the Beast or Little Shop of Horrors.
All right, well,
that's one of those.
All right, those are good. Those are two good ones. Yeah. Did you have braces?
I did not.
How many tattoos do you have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, do costume designers roll their eyes when you walk into fittings because of your tattoos?
Not yet, but...
All right, all right, what am I up to? If you could change one thing about your wedding, what would it have been?
I wish that we didn't get to like dim the dance floor lights. It was like very bright. So we had like spinny lights, but like the overhead lights were the same because it was outside, so... If we just wanted the dance floor to be a little bit darker.
Guys, so that married, think about getting that dance floor darker. Okay. if you can go back and do one performance of any show you've ever been, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. I would love to do Wicked again.
If you had a yacht, what would you call it?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. The SS Yacht.
Yes, that's it. SS, it's the title of this episode. All Broadway shows have a huge gorilla?
No.
What would your superhero power be?
Oh, I'd love to be invisible.
Favorite Disney princess?
Oh, no. That's too hard. I don't want to choose that one.
It really is. I've never seen you have a harder time answering a question. All right. Gaston or Prince Eric? I'm not telling you why, just you have to pick.
Gaston.
Same. most recent Broadway audition?
I wish I knew. Oh, it's been too long.
You've been closed for a while. All right.
This is Doubtfire, maybe?
All right. How many times would you say you've crucified Jesus in front of a live audience?
probably 50.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs, 100%.
Please give me your McDonald's order.
Double cheeseburger, ketchup only, and medium fry.
What do you want on your bagel?
Just butter. I want it toasted, but it has to be like a cinnamon sugar bagel with butter.
Have you had a French toast bagel?
Yes.
That's what you want. That's what you're
Thank you,
for.
Brugger's.
So good. Pre-show ritual?
Warming up.
Favorite Disney attraction?
The Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Least favorite Disney attraction?
I'm not a
Hall of Residence, just say it.
I've literally never done it. So
yeah, that's it. Why would anyone want to go to that?
No,
all right, go to album. For car trips, it could be a soundtrack, it could be a cast recording, a pop album.
Beyonce, B-Day.
Favorite Elfie?
What does that mean?
Like favorite Elphaba.
Oh, I thought you said Alfie. Oh, gosh. Emily Cook, she was my first one.
And yeah, listen, you always remember your first. One show you'll never get over not being cast in.
Bye Bye Birdie.
Best opening night gift?
Oh, we got really cool ones for King Kong. We got like a framed map of Skull Island and stuff that was really cool.
I want blank movie to be a musical.
No More. I want an original musical.
Right. Good answer. What role should Patti LuPone play in Newsies?
Crutchy.
What is your favorite app on your phone?
Instagram.
If you can have dinner with one person, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. Obama.
Favorite Broadway house to perform in?
The Schubert. That was cool to like walk in Schubert Alley.
Weirdest experience as a child performer?
Being a swing and having to learn 17 parts. Hashtag not equity.
Bringing it back to Oliver. What does plummy and slam mean?
Plummy and slam? What?
Do you remember Plummy and Slam? It's like when Nancy, hello, lady. You know, she's like, Plummy and Slam. And she like walks in. All right, it means all right, like quiet down, but it's fine.
That's what I was about to say. I just didn't get the chance yet.
Didn't give me the time. Can you name two Real Housewives?
No.
Would you like to retire with me to Palm Springs?
Yes.
Okay. Name a musical you're okay with never seeing again.
Scandal.
Scandal? Oh,
Scandalous.
Scandalous. Oh, Mamma Mia. She
didn't even remember.
It's okay. It was rough.
Lost or found. Has she been baptized or has she drowned? Were lyrics. Yes, and I still remember them.
Oh, God. Poor Kathy Lee. She can't write a tune. It's really not. Lyrics not for her. If you're listening, you're not listening. Okay. all right. Let's keep going. We have three more. If you can go back in time and see any Broadway show from the history of Broadway, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. Can I choose the Singing in the Rain movie, like watching them film it? No, sure. That's cheating.
Have you ever left a show at intermission?
No.
Right. And what movie could you watch over and over and over again?
Anything Disney.
And if you wanted one thing you want people to know about you that you don't feel like they know.
I'm pretty open. I don't know if anybody doesn't know.
All the things.
I had more secrets. I'm like
no secrets. Open book. Clay, tell the people where they can find you, where they can follow you.
I have Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, my handle is Clay Rice Thompson, and on Twitter, it's Clay Thompson. I just haven't changed it on Twitter.
Are we gonna go by Clay Rice Thompson? Like, will that be in the next playbill?
Yeah.
Yay! Well, welcome.
We have to wait to change it legally until the world picks back up.
Right, well, I'm into it, Clay Rice Thompson.
Yeah.
I call you Clay Thompson because it just
that's
feels
okay. Right. Have people call me Chris Rice. So like
that's a great name too. Clay, thank you so much for doing this. It was so fun to hear your story. And I hope that you guys all liked hearing it too at home. Please remember to subscribe to the Little Me podcast, rate and review, and follow us at Little Me on Instagram or me, Mark Tuminelli. And we'll have another episode next week. Clay, you're the best. I can't wait to see you on Broadway again.
Thanks.
Hang tight. It's coming back eventually.
Amen. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Clay. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network, and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli or on Twitter at That Tuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to BroadwayWorkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.